How do you approach the patient that we're starting to see more and more of them who are coming up with having received 5 years of an adjuvant aromatase inhibitor?
That's a very challenging question. And up until the San Antonio meeting 8 months ago, I wasn't certain on what the answer was to that question. But I was very heartened by the data that was presented both by Paul Goss and Jim Engel on the continued follow-up of the MA17 patients, and particularly in the MA17 patients who had initially been assigned to placebo and then crossed over to letrozole. And two things were evident from those data. The first was that the longer you took letrozole following 5 years of tamoxifen, the larger was the benefit. And it is rare in medical oncology, as you know, to see a benefit that grows with duration of therapy. But it was clear that the longer the duration of therapy with letrozole, the larger was the benefit. And if you compared 2 years to 4 years, if I remember correctly, the benefit almost doubled. And so for our high-risk patients especially, those with larger tumors, those with positive nodes, based on those data, we're now telling them that they really should continue to take their letrozole because we know they're at risk for a very long time, 2 decades or longer, for recurrence. And these data now show that longer therapy may actually improve their outcomes. And the other question that those data really helped us with was for patients who have a gap between the end of their tamoxifen therapy and the initiation of their aromatase inhibitor therapy. So the patients who were initially assigned to placebo after 5 years of tamoxifen in the MA17 trial crossed over to letrozole, and there were some 1,600 patients who made the crossover, and their average duration off therapy, that is the time between the end of their tamoxifen and the initiation of their letrozole, was about 30 months. And even with that gap, that delay in the initiation of the aromatase inhibitor, there was a demonstrated statistically significant benefit with a so-called delayed initiation of the aromatase inhibitor after tamoxifen. And shortly after I saw those data, I saw a 45-year-old nurse who worked in our institution who had come off her tamoxifen before the MA17 data were available. She had not initiated letrozole therapy. And when I saw her in follow-up visit, I said, you know, these data really suggest that we haven't missed an opportunity and that we should probably initiate letrozole therapy for you, because she had a 3.5-centimeter tumor that had a couple of positive nodes. And I thought then, based on those data, even with the gap, there would be a benefit for initiating the letrozole.
And I guess also with these new data, we're becoming more sensitive to the time course of recurrence, particularly of ER-positive tumors, and the frequency of relapse, you know, after 5, even 10 years.
It's a sobering reality that 5 years is not a magic number for breast cancer. And as I said a moment ago, it's really a 2-decade or 2.5-decade disease. And while the hazard rate, the risk of recurrence, is highest in the first 2 or 3 years or so, there's a constant risk of recurrence that persists from years 3 to 20. And while it's small, it is still present in patients with what we've always regarded as very good prognosis tumors, that is small ER-positive, node-negative tumors. But those women do still recur, and that's one of my favorite slides when I talk about the persistence of aromatase inhibitor therapy, that recurrences do occur late, they occur in good prognosis tumors, and I think it's a motivation to think about continuing therapy for a long time.
So I take it that when you see patients like the one you just described who come through the office who've had ER-positive tumors in the past, maybe they received tamoxifen or, you know, even no hormonal therapy, but if they have never received an AI, that you're going to be thinking about that, I guess, looking at their risk of recurrence and considering it almost at any point?
Well, I think we have to be constrained by the data, but certainly we have data with an average delay of initiation of aromatase inhibitor therapy of 2.5 to 3 years. Whether I would do it past 5 years, I'm not sure. But if the patient was at significant risk, I think it would be something that would need to be considered, and it would have to be discussed, knowing that there aren't data to directly answer the question. But it's certainly the data that are available are suggestive that there may be benefit in those situations.
Now, of course, we know that you can't use aromatase inhibitors in actively menstruating premenopausal women. There's a lot of debate about what to do with women who stop menstruating on chemotherapy. But what about the premenopausal woman who receives her 5 years of tamoxifen, goes through menopause, now's a couple years later, she's having hot flashes, she's biochemically menopausal. Would you consider starting an AI in that situation?
I do consider that, and I am sobered, as all of us are, by the data suggesting that the absence of menses does not equate to menopause. But as you said, if you can demonstrate chemically that the patient is menopausal as well as having the absence of menses, then for patients who are premenopausal and now have transitioned to become postmenopausal, yes, we do recommend aromatase inhibitor therapy to follow their tamoxifen therapy if we're convinced that they're postmenopausal.
Now, I know the NSABP is either doing or considering a trial looking at durations of aromatase inhibitors beyond 5 years. Where is that right now?
That trial is under active discussion, and my understanding is that that trial should open shortly. And I think there will be great interest among clinicians, both oncologists and surgeons, to enroll patients in that trial. And my understanding is it should open in the very near future.